The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are various reporters across the state of Iowa. Tom Williamson of KIIC Radio in Albia, you can start us off with your question for Senator Grassley.
As one of the very few senators with a farming career background, does this proposal, or how does this proposal impact, say, a family farm with their taxes and with their filing? Is there any mention given to that small facet?
Yeah. I would say maybe in a lot more than two ways, but I think, first of all, since a lot of farmers are middle-class people, this is a middle-class income cut. Now, farmers don't benefit any more from that than people in urban areas, but that's pretty significant. Secondly, there's a lot of capital investment in a family farm, and this provides expensing instead of years-long depreciation of depreciable property. It can be all written off in the first year. Secondly, most family farms exist for the purpose of passing them on to another generation. And with the doubling of the estate tax exemption, like the House does it, doing away with the estate tax has a better chance of making sure that family farms don't have to be made less competitive and less economically viable by selling off part of the land to pay the estate tax. Now, I know not every farmer is caught up in the estate tax, but those that are and have to sell, it might make it more difficult to pass on to the next generation. But by doubling this exemption, it's going to hit a lot fewer farmers than it might otherwise hit. And in the time of increase in the value of land by inflation, it seems to me that that this is very significant, because if you start taxing inflation, you're taxing phantom income. In other words, the farmer doesn't have any control over whether or not the value of the farmland is going to go up over a course of 10 years from $3,000 an acre to $10,000 an acre, now probably back down to about $7,500 an acre.
Eric Van Sickle of Waverly Newspapers.
What you were saying, Senator, about family farmers, that less family farmers would be hit by the estate tax. Ali Velci of CNBC and MSNBC said that the real number of farmers and small businesses that would be affected by the estate tax as it is now is less than 80. So why would you try to do away with the estate tax for just 80 people, while most farms don't even have a value of even more than a quarter million?
Okay. First of all, as I said to the previous caller, and then I'll give you an additional reason. First of all, we don't do away with the estate tax in the Senate bill. We double the exemption. That'll help a lot of estates not to pay estate tax. But the main answer to your question and to the person that was criticizing changing the estate tax exemption is based on the proposition that you ought to tax income once forever for whatever it's needed for to run the government, and not tax it at any other stage. And the estate tax hits income that way. So it kind of gives a real incentive to people that want to work hard and conserve and not fritter away their money. So let's just say, whether it's a farmer or a non-farmer, you can have a person that's made $1 million throughout his life and lived a life of leisure and fun and enjoyment, and maybe leaves nothing, and and pays no estate tax. Then you've got another person that made $1 million several years in a row and worked real hard and saved it, invested it, and created jobs. And so if you're going to tax because he worked hard, isn't that unfair to the person that made the same amount of money and didn't do anything to create jobs for other people?
Darren Svensson of KDEC Radio in Decorah.
When you look at this issue of tax reform, Senator, I know many among the Republican base expressed some frustration with the inability of Congress to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Do Republicans politically need this tax reform to go through to basically avoid discouraging a lot of their base and avoid their base from getting frustrated with congressional leadership right now?
Yeah, I think that passing this tax cut bill will help overcome some of the frustration among our base, but for not repeal and replacing Obamacare. If some of that could be done in this bill, it would help a great deal. But I think if the chances of incorporating, let's say, doing away with the individual employer mandate part of Obamacare were included here, and that was going to sink the whole tax reform bill, then we would be in worse shape than just dealing with tax reform. But if your question is, do I think tax reform is important not only for the economic consequences of growing the economy and creating jobs and cutting taxes and leaving more money in the pockets of consumers and taxpayers to spend because it does more economic good to creating jobs than if it comes to Washington, D.C., where Washington doesn't grow the economy. Washington lives as a result of the growth of economy. Then that's a very important reason for doing it, other than the political advantages of just repealing it for the sake of satisfying our base. If it was done strictly for political purposes, there wouldn't be any point in doing it. It would be wrong to do it. We're doing it because of the stagnant economy we've had over the last 8 years. Under Obama, growing at about one and four tenths percent of yearly growth, compared to about 3 to 3.5% economic growth on average of the 50 years before that. So we've got to get a growing economy if we're going to pay down on the national debt. And growing economy creates jobs. And creating jobs is what financing the federal government's all about. Democrats seem to think that just raising taxes brings in more money to spend more or to get the debt down. But we don't need more. We don't need tax rates increase. We need more taxpayers. And growing the economy is what about creating taxpayers is all about. Get more people to carry the burden of support of our government.
Aaron Summers of the Lake City Graphic Advocate.
I have talked with some folks here in Calhoun County, and they say they're particularly frustrated about the potential to lose the state income tax deduction. And they point out that Iowa is a high income tax state, and they're wondering if you could address how the potential loss of this deduction benefits the middle, could benefit the middle class in any way.
Yeah. By reducing, or the House just reduces, the Senate eliminates state and local taxes, you are able to reduce middle-income tax rates to a greater extent. And so then all of the middle class benefits. Plus, you have taxpayers of low-tax states financing New York, California, Maryland, New Jersey, Connecticut, states like that, because their state legislatures raise much higher per capita taxes than we do in the Middle West, including Iowa. And so what matters at the end of the day is your taxes are going to be lower. And for the average Iowa middle income family, it's going to be $2,600 more in their pockets to spend. And that's the result of, if I can look it up here, that's a result of research done by the Tax Foundation.
Mike Peterson of KMA Radio in Shenandoah.
Senator, there's been some criticism about a plan to eliminate the adoption tax credit on the tax cut bill. Is this included in the Senate version of the bill? And if so, why is there consideration being made to eliminating this tax credit that has helped a lot of families who want to adopt children?
It is maintained. And the reason you eliminate a lot of credits that are being eliminated other than the foster or the adoption tax credit is because lower tax rates and broadening the tax base is a principle behind making the tax code more simplified. The eliminating the credits is shortening the form, and for 90% of the people will be able to make their income tax out on one sheet of paper.
I had another question here about the history of plans like this. It has been proven that having tax rates, tax cuts that are beneficial more to the upper income levels, instead of basically they were designed to so that if the richer people or the corporations are able to get more money back or pay less in their taxes, that it would quote unquote trickle down to the middle and lower classes by more jobs, increased paychecks. But we've seen time and time again that it doesn't work. Looking at Kansas, for example, it actually led to less revenues and higher deficits, and in Kansas's case, the programs being stopped. Why not take an approach that would be more of the supply side economics? Why not try a demand side economic model, where you give them more of the breaks to the lower end, and also maybe increase the minimum wage to like $10, $15 an hour, and have the prosperity rise up? Yeah.
That's a very, very good question. Very basic question, too. Let me say that what you just described as supply-side economics was what happened during the 8 years of the Obama administration. But that's exactly what the Obama administration did. On a 10-year figure, because that's the way the budget office does impacts of spending or taxes. They always look ahead 10 years. So the Obama administration increased taxes 2 2/10 trillion. And look at what we got for it. We got 1 4/10% economic growth, which started out at 10% unemployment and eventually got us down to 5%. But you can't make this country grow so the next generation lives better than the previous one with just 1 4/10% economic growth. You've got to do that with the 3 to 3.5% economic growth that were the 50-year average prior to Obama. We're trying to get back to that 3 or 3.5% growth. So we tried that during the last 8 years, and we just didn't get the growth that it takes for the next generation to live better than this. So we're trying what has worked in the past. So let me give you the history of certain tax cuts. Let's start out with Kennedy saying that rising tide lifts all boats. That's his way of saying you cut taxes, and you're going to make everybody's life better and increase the income into the federal treasury by having more people work. Or go back to 1920 with the Calvin Coolidge and tax cuts at that particular time, very dramatically reducing taxes. And the 20s were very much a growth economy. Or you can go to after Kennedy, then I think you got to go almost to the Jones bill tax cut of the 1979 on investment income, and it brought in more money. And then you go to the Reagan tax cut, and it brought in more money. And then you go to the tax cuts of the 90s during the Clinton administration, and it brought in more money even though you cut taxes. And things like that that are pretty historical about the fact that when you spend money out there in Waverly, Iowa, it does more economic good than if you send it in here for me to spend for you, because it turns over more times in the economy. Anybody else?
Follow up on that, Senator.
Yeah.
What actually has been happening is that the tax cuts that are being proposed and that have been implemented by Reagan for Bush and the other Bush actually had more tax cuts go to the top, and those people that were that received it didn't exactly invest in the jobs. It's been proven. Okay. Now, why not have more of the breaks at the bottom? That's what I was asking. Why not have more breaks at the bottom and the middle, and also increase the minimum wage? If you implement this corporate tax cut from 35% to 20%, and then increase the minimum wage up to $10 to $15, that would cancel themselves out.
Well,
more money in people's pockets.
Yeah, you're mixing apples with oranges, because in a tax bill we won't be increasing the minimum wage. There's two things to answer your question. One, in regard to the corporate tax rate part of this, and then the other one is what we're trying to do, and we're successfully doing it, responding to the fact that Democrats are making an issue out of the fact that this is a tax cut for the rich. So this is a question I ask in our committee last week, but it's also something that was asked 3 months ago when we started down this road. The top 1% pay 40% of the income tax. So my question last week is, as we were evolving this bill, is that our still goal, and we're accomplishing it? And the answer that we got, not from the politicians, but from the staff and the professional staff, is that yes, the top 1% pay 40% of the income tax today, and they're still going to continue to pay 41% of the income tax, or 40% of the income tax. Then the other one is, this lowers the tax rates on corporations from 35 down to 20. And you start out with the proposition that the United States, most of our corporations are competing in the world economy. So every other industrialized nation has an average of 22%, with some countries down as low as 11 or 12%. The United States can't compete. So if the United States taxes are high, and about 25%, some people say a low of 25%, some people say 70% of the corporate tax is paid out of the wages of the workers, then you can understand by lowering the corporate tax rate that you're going to have higher wages for workers. And the Council on Economic Advisors says that that's going to be about $4,000 per worker. Thank you all very much.
Thank you to all of our participants. This has been U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.